We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears its heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Friday morning to you. Hope everything is going well. It is November 17th, and we are getting ready for Thanksgiving week. And that's always a fun time in my household, and I hope it is in yours. We have at our church, we've been doing this now for the last several years, we have a special Sunday right before Thanksgiving. We have the Lord's Supper that Sunday, and when we do the Lord's Supper at First Baptist Texarkana, it's really the focus of the whole service, and I'll preach on the cross, and I'm going to talk about 1 John 3:1, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And that's our shoebox Sunday. You know, it's collection time for the Operation Christmas Child, and so that's our shoebox Sunday. And that's also parent-baby dedication Sunday. So we have lots of things taking place on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. But I wanted to talk to you today about a fork in the road. You know, when you're driving your car and maybe you're on some unfamiliar roads, and you know, GPS is great until you're in the backside of nowhere and then it gives out and then you don't know where you are. When you hit a fork in the road, I either go left or I go right. Which way will I go? A fork in the road. Now, spiritually, in everybody's life, there's a fork in the road. And in that fork, you have two ways to go. And the two ways would be the Lord's way or your way. It's in the fork. So am I going to go the Lord's way, or am I going to go my way? Now, there are two verses in Proverbs that are identical. And it's a twofer. If you memorize one, you memorize the other. It's Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25, and it says this: there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. When you hit the fork in the road and you say, okay, I'm going to go my way, you know, and every time we're tempted to sin, there's a fork in the road. And even in our Christian life, there's a fork in the road. Am I going to go God's way and do what God says, the one who loves me, the one who knows me inside and out, the one who has what's best for me? Am I going to obey him and go his way, or am I going to go my own way? And am I going to satisfy my fleshly desires right now, or am I going to wait and go the Lord's way? There's a way which seems right to a man. Doesn't seem wrong to a man. It seems right to a man. Seems like, yeah, that's right. That's the way I should go. This makes sense to me. That seems like that's the best path. And the Lord says its end is the way of death. Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. There is God's way, and there's every other way. I think I told you a few days ago that I got hammered on Twitter by some guy because I said Islam was the way of the devil. And he was outraged. How dare you? You're such a bigot to say that. Well, Islam, Confucius, Buddhism, Mormonism, any of these other ways to get to God is a false way. There is one way. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, and we come to the Lord by grace through faith. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And who is the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? The God-man. There's only one Jesus. And he's not who you want him to be. He is who he is. And the only way we can come to heaven is through repentance and faith. But we like to go our own way. And the devil is the Bible calls him the one who deceives the whole world. He is the deceiver, as he deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden. And he does it very craftily. The serpent was more subtle, more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He's very good at deceiving us. And so he makes our way seem like the right way. But where does that way lead? It leads to death. I saw this morning. I was looking through the news. The Ashley Madison chief strategy officer, his name is Paul Keeble. He says monogamy doesn't work for everyone. We need multiple partners to be happy. Now, he didn't say it quite like that, but that was the gist of it. Multiple partners to be happy. Monogamy just doesn't work for everyone. Well, how did God set it up? God set it up one man for one woman for life, until death do you part. What God has joined together, let no man separate. That's the way God designed it. God designed marriage. He defined marriage. God designed morality. He defined morality. And we don't have the right to mess with that. So we either go God's way, or we go our own way, and we can say, well, fooey on you, God, I'm going to do what I want to do. And that's basically what Romans chapter 1 tells us, when God gives us over. Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And in Romans chapter 1, you have people saying no to God's will, God's way, and God's word. And we don't want God, we're going to do it our own way. Well, Proverbs 19, verse 3 says this: the foolishness of man subverts, that means perverts, turns upside down, ruins, it undermines his way, and his heart rages against the Lord. Here's what you'll find: when people want to do life the way they want to do it, their heart begins to rage against the Lord, because Romans 1 says that God has put inside of every man a conscience. And so that conscience tells you that there is a God that you're going to have to deal with, that you are accountable to God. And so when you try and go your own way, you're going to deal with that raging heart. I find it interesting, very, very interesting, that police officers and homicide detectives will tell you that whenever there's a homosexual killing, that they can determine before they know anything about the people, when they go to the crime scene, they look around and they can tell that was a homosexual killing. Why? How do they do that? Because it is so gruesome. There's so much rage and violence. It's not enough to just kill the person. They have to stab the person not one time, not two times, but 20 times, 30 times, 40 times. And they can tell. And they say, yeah. Flawless? Maybe not, but it's probably 99% of the time they can tell, okay, this person was trapped in homosexuality, was involved in homosexuality, because there's rage there. Listen to it again. The foolishness of man subverts his way, and his heart rages against the Lord. So this guy from Ashley Madison, which is it's an adultery place, is a, you put your name in the hat and they try and fix you up with somebody that you can commit adultery with, and they're promoting this lie that, well, you know, multiple partners, that's what's going to make you happy. No, it's not. What makes a person happy in life? Psalm 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. How blessed. The word for blessed is literally happy. How happy is the man? God didn't create us to be miserable. And God doesn't want us to have a relationship with him that makes us miserable. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly, the abundant life. That's what the Christian life is. It's a life overflowing with the fruit of the Spirit. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. That's the life of that God has for his children. Now, Romans chapter 14 says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And the kingdom of God is wherever the Lord is king. That's why Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. It's in your midst. It's where the Lord is king. Sometimes we think the kingdom of God is just heaven, but the kingdom of God can be here on earth as you let Jesus be king in your heart. That doesn't mean that you won't have difficult circumstances. You will. I will. We will. People in the Bible, they had difficult circumstances. You read Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of the faithful, and you find that those people had difficult circumstances. But there was joy there as they trusted the Lord, as they walked with the Lord, as they praised the Lord and sought the Lord with all their hearts, and the Lord was so near to them. You think of Joseph, all the terrible things he went through in the book of Genesis, but it says over and over, the Lord was with Joseph. And when the Lord is with you, there's peace, there's joy, there's hope, because God is the God of hope. Listen, we talked yesterday, about the Psalm 13, David's Psalm, where he's asking the question, God, where are you? How long? Lord, will you hide yourself from me forever? He was going through a hard time in life. And the book of Psalms, a friend of mine summed up the book of Psalms this way. Life is hard, but God is good. And life is hard. Life has a lot of ups and downs, twists and turns. I preached a sermon series on various psalms several years ago, and I called it Roller Coaster, Facing the Ups and Downs of Life, because sometimes circumstances are so great in our lives, and we are just so full of the goodness of God, and then sometimes, Psalm 13, God seems to be a million miles away. And we say, Lord, what gives? What happened to the feelings? Think about this. Your relationship with the Lord is a lot like your relationship with your spouse. It's not a static relationship. It's not a I said I do and then everything is fine until we die. No, it's a dynamic. It's up and down. It's big time feelings and then the feelings aren't there. That doesn't mean you fall out of love. Debbie and I, we always kind of use this terminology in our marriage. We talk about having a surge of love. And I'll tell her sometimes, Debbie, I'm just having such a surge of love for you. Doesn't mean I love her more than I did yesterday. It just means I'm feeling it more. But we don't live off of feelings. We live off of our commitment to one another. And I've chosen her and she's chosen me. And that little cross stitch she did when we first got married, it was so true. It says, choose your love, love your choice. Choose your love, love your choice. And so in our relationship with Jesus, as we seek him, Jeremiah 29:13, and you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And when we search for the Lord with all our heart and seek him first in his kingdom and his righteousness, then he provides for us and we have a closeness with him. And if he takes us through the difficulties of life, just know nothing comes into your life, my life, our lives collectively as Christians that doesn't first filter through his fingers of love. Because God does love us, and we are precious and special to him. He says in Exodus 19 that we are his special treasure. I just love that. We're His special treasure. And why does God love us? Because we're so lovable? No, we're not lovable. He loves us because He chose to love us. And that's a wonderful, wonderful truth. God doesn't love me because I'm so great. God loves me in spite of who I am. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back from the break, we're going to open up the phone lines a little earlier and love to talk to you, answer any of your questions. We do have an important update in the war between Israel and Hamas, so you're not going to want to miss that. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we're talking about going God's way. Which way will you go? There's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is a way of death. And there are only two ways to go, really, when you boil it down. There are two ways to go. There's you go God's way, or you go any other way, and any other way leads to the same place. It leads off a cliff. It leads to eternal hell. Now, I hope you have been keeping up with Israel and the war that they are engaged in with Hamas, that evil satanic organization that rules there in Gaza. And I saw an interview this morning that I thought was very, very insightful. It was with Neil Cavuto. And he was interviewing Nirk Barkat, who is Israeli's minister of the economy. I want you to hear a little bit about that and from his perspective, what is taking place. You know, we have anti-Semitism that is sweeping across our college campuses and really across the world. It's demonic. The prince of the power of the air is sending that out. He hates Israel because Israel has the promises of God, and he hates Jerusalem. We're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The book of Psalms calls Jerusalem the city of the great king, and the Lord is going to rule and reign one day from Jerusalem. And so lots of anti-Semitism taking place on college campuses, and kids are so, I say kids, college students, so easily duped into thinking that we're on the side of the oppressed, and the Palestinians are the oppressed, and Israel is the oppressor, and Israel's bad, and the Palestinians are good, and you have these crazy things where you know, people will come out with signs, queers for Palestine, and Hamas would kill a homosexual in a heartbeat. You go to Gaza and you say, hey, I want to help fight on the side of Hamas, and they would find out you're homosexual and they would kill you. So it's just so ludicrous. But here is the part of the interview that Neil Cavuto had with the Israeli minister of the economy.
I'm going to go to Nir Barkat right now, the Israeli Minister of the Economy, former mayor of Jerusalem. And Mayor, it's always good to have you. I did want to get your take on this, we're told, imminent hostage deal, maybe 50 released. Can you tell us anything about what you know?
Well, Neil, it's very simple. Eventually, we need total surrender of Hamas. Like Nazi Germany, like Imperial Japan, we need to wipe them off the face of the earth. And until we do that, the war is not going to stop. We're also asking, where's the Red Cross? Where are the 239 people that were abducted from Israel, that are now kidnapped? And fortunately today, just not long ago, we found a body of one of the hostages. And we had to bring her home, not alive. And we're asking, where are the rest of the hostages?
Let me ask you, Minister, some people are beginning to wonder just how many of those 239 are alive. And that's why you might only be getting 50 now, if it even comes to pass. What do you think?
Well, Neil, you saw the atrocities. You saw how they burn people alive. You saw how they rape women and put a little baby in the oven and cook him. We saw all the atrocities, and they filmed it themselves. They were proud of it. This is totally crazy. They're monsters. Now, we don't know what they're doing with the hostages. They don't see them as hostages. They see them as something. I don't know what, not as human beings. And this is so shameful. Now, the world has to ask very aggressive and hard questions. We want them all. We want them all back. And, you know, we will do whatever it needs to bring our people back. But it is totally absurd, the situation. And we need the help of the world. We need the help of the United States. And this is a great opportunity to thank President Biden for his amazing support. We will never forget our friends. You folks have stood behind us at the toughest times Israel ever had since its existence. And we will never forget that.
So that was Nir Barkat, and he was the former mayor of Jerusalem, and he's currently serving as the minister of the economy for Israel. And listen, why do we stand with Israel? It's because the Lord has said when he called Abraham, he was Abram at the time, living in Ur of the Chaldees. He said, I'm going to make a great nation out of you, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Now, Christians believe that promise, and so we are on the side of Israel because Israel, they're God's chosen people. It's very clear in this war, and it's just insanity to me. It just shows how the devil deceives people. But anybody that would be pro-Hamas, that's just saying you're pro-Satan. That is a satanic group. And those who want to distance themselves, the Muslims that want to distance themselves from Hamas and Hezbollah and ISIS and those, militant terroristic groups, they say, well, that's not true Islam. No, it is true Islam. What you're practicing is an offshoot of Islam. Islam is not peaceful. It has never been peaceful. Study the life of Muhammad and you'll find that that's what he did. He beheaded people. He attacked people. It has always been, since its inception, the religion of the sword, and it's believe or die. It's smash mouth religion. Well, we're going to go ahead and open the phone lines at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. As we think about Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25, same verse, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You know, I was thinking about the lies that people believe, the things that they believe are right concerning God. And it's like, well, where do you get this belief? And so here are some of the things that people believe about God, the lies about God. The big one, God doesn't exist. Well, you know, Time magazine ran the cover in April of 1966, April 18th, 1966, the famous cover, God is dead. The creator of life is dead. Yeah, right. Well, people believe that. People believe, well, maybe there was a God, but he's no longer here, or God doesn't exist. And the ridiculousness of that belief, that nobody times nothing equals everything, is just mind-blowing. You look at, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and we were talking about the human body and the complexity of the human body. And to think that that all just happened, you know, it's the idea, evolution is the idea that you can put some junk parts in the washing machine and put it on spin cycle for a billion years and out comes a camera. Well, we know that that would never happen. And the complexity of the human body and how it all works together is just, in my mind, I mean, it's proof positive all by itself that there is a God. There's a God who made me. There's a God who made it all. You can't have a creation without a creator. But the idea that God doesn't exist. So I don't want God to exist. What's the underlying support of that? I don't want God to exist. Why? Because I don't want to be accountable to him. And so if God doesn't exist, then I can live any way I want and I won't be accountable to him. But here's the thing about living any way you want. There's a way that seems right. You feel like, hey, I this seems right to me. This is the way I want to live. You are going to find misery living the way you want to live. You're going to find satisfaction in life. It's only found when you live according to the way God set up life. Who can drink, Solomon said, and who can eat without him, without being right with him? You're not. You can't find satisfaction without him. And so the person that wants the love, joy, and peace, that wants the fullness of life, the fullness is only found in Jesus. And you can have things in this life. You can have money. You can have fame. You can have worldly success. But you can't have peace, can't have joy, can't have true love without the Lord, because those things belong to God. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And we have Bobby on the line from Texas. Bobby, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Shree, for taking my call this morning. I was just calling in to say that I believe that Christians, we need to wake up, because there is such moral decay in this country. And the fact that we have people right here in this country that hate the Jews so much that they are supporting terrorists, soon they'll be hating us and, you know, doing the same things against us that they're doing against the Jews, because as we have accepted Christ Jesus, we're under the covenant of Abraham. You know, so we really need to wake up and see what's going on. And I always hear people saying, how do we get so bad? And I said, it's like leaving meat on a grill. The longer it cooks, it's going to get burnt. And we are burnt right now.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. Well, yeah, we're in a serious situation, and it's time for Christians. I just had a great interview yesterday with Rosaria Butterfield. She has a new book out about the lies of the devil, and we're going to air that on Wednesday. But yeah, she's one that says, hey, it's time for Christians to stand up and be counted. And I've been saying that for a long, long time. Listen, there is no more middle ground. You can't just, the mushy middle has gone away. And we are in a post-Christian society. And it's not the end thing to be a cultural Christian. You're either true for the Lord, as Jesus said, you are either for me. He who is not for me is against me. And we're either going to be for the Lord or we're going to be against him, because trying to ride the fence is not going to work, because the devil owns the fence. And so we need to stand up and be counted. And we need, obviously, without any question, we need to stand up to support Israel. And as Nir Burkhart said in that interview with Neil Cavuto, he was very grateful to President Biden and to the United States of America, because we are Israel's friend, and hopefully we will stay that way. The longer this war goes, the more people will start bailing out on Israel, and they already, you know, Hamas loves to show the wounded and the dead from their people, and look at these civilians, and look, they bombed our hospital. Yeah, because you built a military base underneath the hospital, and you guys are just despicable, and you use human shields, and so it's just a clear conflict between good and evil, between God and Satan, and God is going to defend his people, and Israel will win this battle. Because God is not going to let Israel be wiped out, as the chant goes, from the river to the sea. That's never going to happen. And the Lord will rule and reign one day from Jerusalem. And so until that time, we stand up for Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So very good, Bobby. Thank you for calling in. Anything further?
No, sir. Thank you. God bless you, and take care.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. We've been talking about a fork in the road. Which way will you go? Will you go God's way, or will you go your own way? And your own way is influenced by the devil. It's influenced by the world and the flesh. Lots of things that make you think your own way or the world's way or culture's way is the right way. But as the scripture says, the end of that road is death. And there's life in the Lord Jesus, and there's death outside of the Lord Jesus. And, you know, the idea that many roads lead to heaven. No, there's one road that leads to heaven. The many roads lead off a cliff, and they lead to eternal hell. So some of the lies that people believe and some of the ways that they go, well, God doesn't exist. Here's another one. Church is not important. I mean, it doesn't matter if you go to church or not. Well, Jesus said that upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Church is very important because church is the Lord's entity on this earth to speak the truth in love. And in the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people, but in the New Testament, God has a people for his temple, and the Lord lives in us, and we gather together as the assembled saints of the Lord, and we have local churches, and then the church universal, which is the body of Christ. Church is very, very important, and if you're going to walk with God and say, well, I don't need to be associated with any church, that doesn't make any sense at all. All the New Testament believers were immediately involved in a church, baptized into that church, and members of that church and serving in that church. That's the way the Lord has set it up. Well, we have Scott on the line from Alabama. Scott, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Scott, are you there?
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing good, Scott. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, you're so spot on with everything that you're saying. I've served 8 years in Iraq and Afghanistan, and I've seen firsthand what these terrorists do. And, you know, the fear that I have is watching our churches in the United States of America acquiesce to saying, we're okay, we will tolerate you because Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you, but he expects a change in your behavior and in your patterns. I watched a Catholic priest be beheaded in Baghdad. I watched families get shot at gunpoint because they espouse Christian beliefs. It's going on today. And everybody says, well, that's not who the Muslims are in America. They couldn't be further from the truth, and these dangers are absolutely real. Look at Minnesota. Look at
yes.
Detroit.
We're up against a break, Scott, but you're exactly right. We need to wake up and smell the coffee because the evil is all around us, and we need to stand up for the truth. We'll be right back. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Also, let me encourage you, From His Heart Ministries airs every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Love for you to tune in to a message one night. Hopefully, it will be encouraging to you. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Love to hear from you if you have a question or a comment. We've been talking about the the fact that the Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way, not a truth, not a life. He is the way and the truth and the life. And as it says in Proverbs twice, 14:12 and 16:25, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is a way of death. Its end is the way of death. And we either go the Lord's way or we go off the cliff, we go off into the abyss, we go to eternal hell. There are not many ways to get to heaven. There's one way. As that old song says, there's one way to peace through the power of the cross. His banner over me is love. Well, we have Michael on the line from Florida. Michael, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, love your program.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you for AFA and all of them. They're all good. One thing I wanted to comment on is when you got criticized for calling Islam out. Many years ago, there was a very popular book in church, and it was called The Purpose-Driven Life. And I did some research on that guy, and I'm trying not to name names because I don't want to say anything inappropriate. But as I was doing research on him, he seemed to believe that Islam and Christianity, just slap it all together and call it Chrislam, and it's all good. So what I want to say is we have to be very careful where we're getting our source, and we have to study to show ourselves approved, because, you know, one thing with this transgender and all this sexual deviancy that's going on right now, there is one thing that you hardly ever hear anything about, and that's what about the people that are living in adultery, because, well, you know, I just want to shack up with somebody, but, you know, I don't want to go through the hassle of marriage and all that. So, you know, church, you would think that that would be a nice, safe place to go, but as I was listening to Jenna Ellis, and she had a guest on her program, and, you know, they were asking, are the churches doing enough? And quite honestly, I have to say no. From where I sit, and I'm, you know, down here in Florida, there's a church right across from every 7-Eleven.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. So I appreciate that, Michael. The church needs to hold up the banner of the Word of God. Thus says the Lord. And we need to preach, as I said in the beginning, God defines morality. He defines it, and he designed it, and he defined it. He designed marriage. He designed it, and he defines it. And we have to tell people this is what the Lord says, and this is the way to go. Now, we want people to come to the church. I want people to come to our church that are broken down in sin, because that's where you find hope. The church is to be a hospital for hurting, broken people. And that they can come and they hear the truth and they deal with sin, and there's repentance and faith. That's what is supposed to take place as we come before the Lord. Now, if the church waters down the message or tells people, oh, it's okay, you don't need to repent. God is love, and he is love, but God is also, Jesus was full of grace and truth. And so both of those things, he's full of both of those things, and you can't get right with God until you get honest about your sin, until you deal with your sin, and by loving kindness and truth, the Bible says iniquity is atoned for. Iniquity is not atoned for without truth. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. There's no freedom without the truth. And both of those things are critical. And the church needs to be a lighthouse of love and truth. And we are called to speak the truth in love. That is the command given to Christians, especially given to pastors and churches. The church needs to be a lighthouse of love and truth. So I appreciate you calling in, and thank you for that. Well, we have Melba from Arkansas. Melba, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't want to steer off topic, but I do have a question. You talk about, and I know that the only way to God is through Jesus. Now, I want to know what you say about, okay, in the Old Testament talks about the Israelites, that they were God's chosen people, and they turned him down. So you had Paul and you had Peter told, you know, go to the Gentiles. But they don't how are they reconciled with God? The only way to God is through Jesus. The Jews don't even believe Jesus. They're not Christian. So how, I mean, it can't be both ways. If they're God's chosen people, then where does that put us? It can't be both ways. And so I'm gonna go ahead. And he told me I had 90 seconds, so I hope I've made my what I'm asking clear.
No,
so I'm gonna hang up and listen to you speak. Did I make myself clear enough?
Yes, you did. I understand, Mel. But that's okay. a good question. Okay, so the Lord has made promises to Israel. He is the God of Israel in the Old Testament. Now, Israel, as you study their history in the Old Testament, they had a problem with turning to idols, turning to the Baals. You know, Elijah had a showdown on Mount Carmel. If God is God, serve him. How long will you hesitate, he said to the people, between two opinions. If the Lord is God, serve him. If Yahweh is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. But quit trying to ride the fence. And remember, the Lord answered that day. Baal didn't answer in the contest. The God whoever sends the fire on the sacrifice, he is God. Well, Baal didn't answer because Baal's not God. And God answered, and the people said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." So God's Old Testament people had difficulty all the time with straying away from him, just like God's New Testament people, his Christ. We have trouble with that too, as the song by Robert Robinson so aptly says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." And so the Lord always has a remnant. So Israel in general did not receive Christ. But Paul was a Jew, Peter was a Jew, John was a Jew, all the disciples were Jews, and so the 3,000 that were baptized that day on the day of Pentecost, they were all Jews. So it's not correct to say there are no Jewish believers. There have always been Jewish believers. There have always been a remnant. But here's the thing, the Lord has made promises to Israel. And those promises will come true because God keeps his word. And so God is not done with Israel. As people have said from Daniel chapter 9, Daniel has those 70 weeks. Well, there's an interlude in those weeks as God deals with the church. And God has the church age. We're in the church age now, but when the church is raptured out, and I know this is controversial, not everybody believes in a pre-tribulation rapture. Not everybody believes in the seven-year tribulation and the rise of the Antichrist and the return of Christ and Battle of Armageddon, but I do. And so God is dealing with the church right now. Israel is kind of on a pause, but when the church is taken out at the rapture, then everything goes back to Israel. And the Lord is going to fulfill those promises. So remember, God always has a remnant. And even when it looks like everyone has turned against the Lord, he always has a remnant because his promises come true. So very good question. But that's how that works. And Israel is God's chosen people. And God didn't choose them because they were so wonderful. They were the ones that God chose, and God chose to put his love on them, Deuteronomy chapter 7. And so he will fulfill his promises because those reflect on his name and his character. Are you able, Lord, to fulfill what you promised? And the answer is yes. So we have Joyce from Indiana on the line. Joyce, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I had to pull over when I heard what you were talking about today. I work at a church and I publish a newsletter through the email. I had, for the last 2 weeks, I put support Israel at the bottom, and I had some scripture with that. And last week the pastor told me to take that out. It's a silly little picture. And we should be supporting the Palestinian people too. Why don't I put something in there like that? And the church is very liberal, and the people, the leaders are very liberal. And I've been struggling back and forth. I said if I take this out, then I'm going to quit. And here I am a week later, and I'm really upset because I don't want to quit. I love my job. I like the people, but I don't support their ideology. I say that conservative is the next, like a euphemism for biblical, because they're not conservative. And so I don't know. I don't want to disappoint God. I'm just struggling with this decision to quit the church here.
Yeah.
I don't go to church here. I do go to another church, but should I quit? I don't know.
Yeah, great question. I appreciate you calling in with that. Here's what I would encourage you to do. It's hard to know on that, but so you bring that before the Lord and you say, Lord, you have said in your word, John 7:17, if anyone is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of God. And there's a principle in that verse that if you're willing to do what God wants you to do, that God will reveal to you what he wants you to do. So when you have this, Lord, do I stay and be salt and light here in this liberal church, or is this influencing me negatively? Do I need to leave? And you just let the Lord sit and you just tell him, Lord, I'm willing to stay. I'm willing to go. I just want to know what you want me to do so I can do your will. And I think if you pray that kind of prayer, Joyce, that the Lord will be faithful to show you. And it could be that he wants you there to be a light shining in a dark place, because obviously they have bought into liberalism and a liberal interpretation of scripture, and they're not following the way of the Lord. And of course, we don't want to see people. Israel doesn't want to see innocent Palestinians killed and those living in Gaza. They don't want to see that. They're doing all they can to protect those people. The leaders of Gaza want to use them as human shields. And it's just such a clear distinction between good and evil. And so when Hamas is killing their own people and Israel's wanting to protect Hamas's people, that shows you quite the distinction. So even Benjamin Netanyahu says, we don't want to kill Palestinian civilians. We want to destroy Hamas because Hamas is evil. So I would just encourage you that way, and bring that before the Lord and see. And if he does want you to leave, he's going to provide something else. And if he wants you to stay, just be vocal, be a vocal witness, not obnoxious, but be a vocal witness there, and to let people know, hey, this is the truth. Galatians 4:16 is such a great verse. Have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? And what we are called to do is speak the truth in love. And you're not an enemy when you tell people the truth and when you tell them the truth in love. So God bless you. Well, we have our good friend Lee from Virginia. Lee, welcome to the program.
Yes, Pastor Jeff. You are, as usual, you're right on the ball. America has got to the point, we treat God like Santa Claus. We've outgrown him. He's all right for little kids to believe in him, but when you get older, you know, you don't believe in Santa Claus, you don't need him. Well, you never outgrow God, and you never get to the place you don't need him. Moses realized that there was pleasure in sin. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin, but it's only for a little season. And what I see going on in the United States against Israel, I can see this country turning against Christians in the same fashion. Persecuting us and hating us someday if time goes on long enough, because we stand against homosexuality, we stand against gay marriage, we stand against transgenderism, because the Bible stands against those things. And I don't see us too far down the road where we'll be hated like Israel is hated. And I thank God he's still got people like you standing up for him. God bless you.
Amen, Lee. Thank you so much. I appreciate that encouragement. You're exactly right. You know, Jesus said in John 16, he said, there's coming a time where men will kill you thinking they're doing God a service. They're serving God. How am I serving the Lord? By killing Christians. The Apostle Paul was like that. Before he was the Apostle Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus, breathing out threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord. He thought he was serving God by arresting Christians, by seeing their demise. And Jesus said to him on the road to Damascus, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Well, thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. I'm sorry, Linda and Ron, we are out of time, but thank you for calling in, and hope to get to your calls next time. But listen, tomorrow's gone. Tomorrow's not gone. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow may not come. All we have is today. So make today count. As John Wooden used to say, make each day your masterpiece and shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And God will use you as his witness as you walk in his ways. God bless you. Have a great weekend. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.